What a passage of scripture Joy shared with us. And we're going to be looking at that in a little more detail, just at two specific parts from it. First of all, I want to tell you about an occasion years ago when I lived in Wakefield. As it was known. And I went along from time to time on Sunday evenings to sit under the ministry of a marvellous preacher, a lady called Sue Rose. And Sue had a great gift of preaching. And it was marvellous to sit and listen. I really felt that the Lord spoke through her on many occasions. She told a story once, which I found very moving, of how when she was young she had fallen in love with a chap. She was at Oxford University, please forgive her that. And she was sitting by the banks of the river, and her boyfriend was kind of dozing and lying down, and she rested her head on his chest and just closed her eyes. And she said it was such an incredible moment of intimacy, such an incredible moment of loveliness. So she was aware, first of all faintly, and then more wonderfully, of his heart beating as she laid her head on his chest. And she said that as she lay there in this lovely moment and in the subsequent days, she became aware that God was saying to her, "That's what you must do with me. You must take time to just stop, step away from the horror and the hurly-burly of the world around you and the pressure and all of the things. You must just simply put your head on my chest and be aware of my heartbeat. Have those precious times with me," says the Lord. I remember as Sue shared that, I remember it was one of those things where it thumped into me. I thought, goodness, she's right. That's just what we need to do. Now this marvellous character, this biblical hero, King David, he had times like that with Jesus. He had wonderful times like that. If I might read from just a couple of chapters on from where we were reading this morning, in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 18, there's a really unusual Hebrew sentence. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he began to pray. You hear all sorts of things about people falling on their knees before the Lord and raising their hands before the Lord and collapsing face first before the Lord and doing all these things. But on this occasion, David just sat down. Such was his intimacy, such was his lovely relationship with God. Bear in mind that God said, "This is a man after my own heart." David had such intimacy with God that he could just sit down to pray. Remarkable. A wonderful thing. And of course in Christ Jesus that's an intimacy that we are offered and that we share. It's incredible, isn't it? Stop and think for a moment. David, King David, all those years ago, going in and sitting down with the Lord. And in the passage that Joy read for us today, there are a couple more instances of David having an intimate time with the Lord, but we kind of miss it. In translation, if you've got the Bible there in front of you, it might be worth a while just having a little look at 2 Samuel 5. In verse 19, it says, "So David inquired of the Lord." And then, in verse 23, it says, "So David inquired of the Lord." And that's what it says. The actual Hebrew is slightly different. It says that David asked in Yahweh, in the Lord, in God. He asked when he was in him in some way, in this intimate and wonderful way with the Lord. This wasn't just an ordinary type of prayer. David was in a specific place of intimacy with God before he lifted his prayers. One of my favorite hymns or songs starts with the words, "As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, so we're standing face to face, and look upon your countenance and see the fullness of your holy grace. This marvellous moment of praising and worshiping and suddenly finding yourself in an intimate place with God. It's easy to miss it. It's easy to miss it in this passage. They inquired of God, but it was more than that. He was in the Lord in this wonderful way when he inquired. And that's significant for us today. We're going to look at that and see what God chooses to do in those moments. We're going to look at what he chose to do with David and reflect perhaps a little on what he might choose to do with us in these moments when we're intimate with him. First of all, let me share with you something, the dazzling historicity of this moment. I'm going to put up a map. I guarantee you won't be able to read it. But... No, it was a tall order. All you need to do is see the little red dot in the middle. And note that it's in the middle. Because this is the valley that is mentioned here in this passage. This is the Valley of Rephaim. We'll say a bit about that in a moment. But stop and think about what's happening. This moment was huge for God's people. It was a vast thing. First of all, the Philistines were terrifying. They were big and powerful. There was lots of them, and they meant harm. Their purpose was to destroy. They weren't coming to do anything half decent. They were coming to destroy God's people. That was their purpose. And what's more, God's people were divided. You had Israel on this side and Judah on the other. The kingdom was not united. And you know, it is easy often to defeat your enemy if your enemy is divided. So the Philistines must have been rubbing their hands together with glee. And what's more, the Philistines were more advanced. Brilliant archaeologists and scientists have studied this whole era, and they found that the Philistines were more advanced by the way of metallurgy. They were more advanced by the way of which they created their chariots and things like this. They were an advanced, huge army. Unified, certainly unified in purpose in destroying God's people. And they were heading to God's people at this moment of division. And poor old David. Poor old David was pretty flimsy. He'd just become king. He had just got his paws on Jerusalem. It was all new and it was all fresh. And this is the moment that they are choosing to attack. One commentator said that this moment in Israel's history was the equivalent of something like the Battle of Britain for the UK, or the Battle of Trafalgar, something like that. It was a vast moment, and there David stood. And something to reflect on, it's all about the heart. Look at the map again, look at the red dot. They are striking at the heart, the very heart of the country, the very heart of what's going on. They are spearheading right into the centre, and that is where the hammer blow will fall the heaviest. Tactically, it's quite brilliant. Something they don't know. It's all about the heart for David as well. Because God put the defeat of this enemy right at the heart of David's ministry, right at the moment he was called. Go back to 1 Samuel. I'll read it for you. 1 Samuel 9 and verse 16. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people Israel, God says to Samuel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. It's all about the heart. Right at the heart of David's ministry, God has said, you will defeat these people. They will not prevail. And at the same moment, they are striking at the very heart of the land. The historicity of the moment is amazing. It's an incredible thing. What does David do? At that moment, praise the Lord, thank goodness he can, he finds that intimacy with God. He comes into his intimate moment with the Lord. And so, let me read the passage just briefly, just two or three verses for you. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered, "Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there. David and his men carried them off. What's the first thing David does? He flees. He hears that they're coming and he runs. He flees. He goes to the stronghold. And that is something that happens repeatedly in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, friends, it happens repeatedly in our lives. When something horrible happens, when someone is mean to you, when you face a disaster, when you get bad news, God forbid that you do. When you sit and you talk to a doctor and they do not say the words you want them to hear, it's terrifying. You feel that fear. And your instinct is to run, is to hide, is to do what David did, go down from where you were into the stronghold. That's your instinct. What we do, but if you can do as David did, be intimate before the Lord and come into his presence and pray to him, God takes you on a journey from that fear to a place of courage. But there's that important step you have to take. You have to be intimate with the Lord to make that journey, to have that special blessing. You have to come before the Lord. And so this is what David did. He was afraid. I guess he was afraid because he wasn't in any way stupid. If the largest army is coming towards you, they're far better equipped than you, and you don't know who's on your side and who isn't. It's obvious you should be afraid. But the Lord reveals that he should be courageous. And this lesson stuck for David. Let me read you just the beginning of Psalm 56. Psalm 56 reads, "For the director of music, to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks." I bet that's lovely. I wonder what it is that in heaven will say, "Lord, what was A Dove on Distant Oaks?" You can hear heavenly choirs when you sing it for us. A Miktam, I don't know what that is either. "When the Philistines have seized David in Gath." Now verses 3 and 4. What does David say? He says, "When I am afraid, I'm trusting you. In God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Powerful stuff. "I will not be afraid. Instead, I will turn and I will bow before my God. What can mortal man do to me?" Jesus said the same thing in that moment that I find always so comical. When Jesus is talking to his disciples and they're scared that some people are going to kill them. And Jesus says, "Oh, don't worry about people who just killed you." You can imagine the atmosphere there. You'd be thinking, oh goodness me. Right, so don't really worry about dying there. "No," says Jesus, "of course not. You just need to worry about God." Do you see the way the Lord does that all the time? David learned that lesson. Joshua learned that lesson. When he stood at the walls of Jericho, he was humbling and eyeing. How am I going to attack it? What am I going to do? But when the Lord appeared to him, what did the Lord say? "Take your shoes off. you're on holy ground. Turn, bow before me. Then the theme city on this occasion will bow before you. Get things right. Be intimate with God. And things fall into the correct place, no matter how frightening they are. And so he takes him on a journey from fear to a place of courage. And isn't it marvellous? Isn't it wonderful? And do you love that description as well? The waters breaking out. I think that's great as well. The way in which when God starts to do something, my goodness, he takes people by surprise and he really does something. Like waters breaking out. Anyway, let's look at verses 22 down a little. This is once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So they're just having another go. There isn't just one strike, there is a second. And so they come back for another go. So David inquired of the Lord. Doesn't just think to himself, well, I've beaten them once, I'll just go and have another go. He carefully comes before his God. So David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. I'm sure you can spot Gibeon and Gezer just there. I'll pop David back up. Interesting. Fascinating. This journey is from a place of courage. David has seen what God can do. He has seen that God has the capacity, it is within his easy power to destroy the enemies that line up against David. David has learned that lesson. But still they come back. But still David isn't foolish enough to think he can do anything in his own strength. He comes before God. He has that intimacy. And the symbolism of the balsam grove, it was symbolic balsam of healing. From balsam you get healing balms. Some balsam was twice the price of gold in ancient times. It was so precious. God in his word rhetorically asks a question in Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? It's a rhetorical question because God says, of course there's healing. Of course there's blessing in me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Martin Luther King, in my absolute favourite speech of his, which was entitled Martin Luther King's Entry to the Civil Rights Movement, if any of you get a chance to have a listen to that on YouTube or something, when he talks of the terrible things that were happening to him, the awful phone call in the night, the racist abuse, a bomb planted under his house, an attempt to murder his wife and his little child, as well as him. He talks about these terrible things that have been done to him. And at the end of that sermon, he cries out in the words of the old hymn, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. That's the truth. There is a balm. And this is something God is saying to David in these moments. Let me move you from fear to courage. Now let me take you from courage to deep healing. You will see the deep healing of your people. The Philistines will be defeated, and again they will be defeated, and they will be properly defeated, so that they don't come back. The healing will be deep and will be profound. And the healing and the victory and all the things bound up in it are spiritual as well as physical. You will actually hear the movement of the heavenly armies in amongst those trees, going ahead of you, doing all that I want done, says God. From courage to a place of healing. What a journey. What an incredible thing. And so a simple question at the end. Reflect for a moment on that journey. David manages to be intimate with God. even in a terrifying place. And God takes him on this journey from fear to courage, and then from courage to deep healing for David and for his people. And he fulfills in David things that he set at the heart right from the start. What journey will God take you on in your intimate times with him? In Christ Jesus, you have exactly the opportunity David had to walk before the Lord, to sit with him, to pray, to be in him by his wonderful Holy Spirit. And when we have those moments, the Lord does take us on a journey. He moves on. We venture with him. Where will he take you? I pray that that will be something that you'll be able to reflect upon over this week. And I pray the Lord bless you all very richly.